Good morning. Today is Tuesday, September the 14th. Joining us this morning, noted community commenter Troy Nicolini.
Good morning. Good to be here.
See you. You now have a different standard of excellence to achieve. But you have to talk longer than 3 minutes. Otherwise, this is going to be a really weird show.
I've been stressing about that all morning.
Yeah, I bet you have. Before we get into, we got a couple topics we'll kick around. Before we do that, are you ready for your question? Good. You're as prepared as everybody else.
Somehow I always forget about this question part.
Why is something genuine called the real McCoy?
I don't know.
The real McCoy was probably Kid McCoy, the world welterweight boxing champion from 1890 to 1900. The kid was such a popular fighter that other less well-known fighters traveling the small-town boxing circuit claimed to be Kid McCoy to draw crowds and increase the size of the gate. The problem of imitators became so severe that McCoy began billing himself as Kid, the real McCoy.
Uh-huh.
And from this came the expression we now use to any genuine article.
Interesting.
So you're not a boxing historian, huh?
No. Yeah. My dad probably would have been.
Yeah. If you would have said Kid, I would have said probably Nichols, a pitcher.
Right, yeah.
That same rough time.
You know, it's interesting. You often hear people say they'll never forget, but with generations that go by, like, that's not part of our vernacular. Like, we don't know anything about that guy.
Yeah,
Sort of sad.
Well, there's so many more things.
Right.
That can take our attention away.
Right. That's why I really appreciate a lot of the posts I see on Facebook that bring back facts from World War I and World War II. I really appreciate being reminded of some of those key facts from those conflicts and why you really should never forget
incoming
those.
Duck things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got Troy here. He's wearing two hats today,
I think, just one. But
got to talk about the fire weather briefly, and then we'll talk about this charter school efforts that are going
okay.
on. So briefly means less, one segment or less.
Okay, we'll just clearly delineate those two hats.
Yes. Okay. I just read an email from a buddy who has radio stations in Susanville. He said the Dixie Fire just went over 1 million acres. And that there are reports from the East Coast that people are getting smoke from that fire.
Wow.
That far away.
Right.
Okay, and we've heard about the jet stream. And we see the little squiggle that goes across the country. And, you know, basically during wintertime we pay attention. And other times we really don't too terribly much. What is this thing about a local, I guess it would be a local environmental impact, but also a microclimate that happens around fire? Is it parallel to anything else we see other than, like, maybe a volcanic explosion?
Well, so just for perfect clarity, so I'm currently, in this part of the conversation, wearing my National Weather Service hat. I'm going to take that off momentarily.
Yes.
And go on vacation. So, you know, fire weather is, and it's not my specialty, I should tell you, but fire weather is driven by dry conditions, wind, and ignition source. So when you see a fire like that they can't control and spreads rapidly, that's because the fuels are really dry, and there's obviously an ignition source that started the fire, and then the winds can move the fire more quickly than firefighters can suppress it.
So what causes wind?
Well, and fires can actually cause their own wind, but that's not typically, I mean, that's an interesting phenomenon. But often, for example, the Santa Rosa fires of a few years ago that were so devastating, they were set off by downed power lines at the ridge tops where the winds were really strong. And those are just basically winds driven by the mechanisms we see all the time.
Normal stuff over the mountaintops.
It accentuated over the mountaintops and through gaps in particular as well, right? Because it's a compression of the laminar flow that has to go over the top of the mountain. But the mechanisms I'm talking about is the Pacific high over the ocean and the thermally induced trough of low pressure over the inland areas because they heat up. So in the simplest way, as the land on the other side of, you know, where we are heats up, air rises, and it has to get filled from somewhere, and it just so happens that there's high pressure over the ocean. So that's why we often get wind from the ocean towards the land during the summertime.
Blowing the fog against the mountain.
That's why we get shoved up with fog, yeah. But when that mechanism drives winds over higher terrain like that, it can be really strong winds for long sustained periods of time, and that really makes firefighting hard. You might say it really helps the fires. It really makes it hard for firefighters to contain those fires.
So what happens like in the Bay Area where there aren't mountains like we have, and they've got the heat in the valley?
Yeah, that's
I've
spent many days sailing in San Francisco Bay, and you can basically sail from like the Golden Gate Bridge all the way to Benicia with the wind at your back. It actually curves through the Carquinez Straits and bends around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so that wind, you're exactly right. The same mechanism's there, but there's no mountains blocking it. So the bay and the Carquinez Straits and the Delta area funnels the wind. And interestingly, I spent 11 years in Davis, and it reaches all the way to Davis. So it fans through the constriction of like...
There's no water in Davis.
No, the wind does. Oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, but you're right. I was landlocked for 11 years. The worst 11 years of my life.
Okay.
But that's a different story. But the wind actually blows through the Delta region and then fans up to the north, south, and east and reaches as far as Davis, maybe even to Woodland. But, so in Davis, if you live in Davis, you know that it cools off at night because that's that Delta breeze moving up and cooling the region off. By the time you get to Redding, does not make it to Redding.
It's just too dissipated.
Yeah, it's too dissipated. And that's why Redding doesn't cool off at night. It's hot as hell at night. So, but you're right. It's different down there because of the cut through the coastal range that the San Francisco Bay makes.
Now, we are more sensitive to the wind coming north through the valley. Does it also go south?
You mean down there?
Yeah, down south. So it comes, blows through the bay.
Right.
And we know it goes north into Sacramento and Davis.
Right.
Does it also go south down to Stockton and give any relief there, or is that different?
Yeah, it does. I've never lived down there, so I can't personally. But, yeah, it would fan out in both directions. Yeah, it makes sense that it would fan to the south. I've just never lived down there, so I don't. I have some family there. I should ask them. Does it cool off at night in Stockton? I don't know.
That would imply that you wanted to spend evenings in Stockton.
Yeah.
You may not want to make that question. Yeah.
Well, no, he lives down there.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Might be coming down.
Oh, right,
to visit.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. Thinking about visiting. I want to know if it cools off at night.
Just a little theoretical question here, bud.
Totally hypothetical here.
Yeah. Do we know, is this an area of science that we're learning more and more about, or is the known pretty much static?
You know, we have a recent hire who came out of Alaska. He is a really bright young man. That's his area of interest. I would say fire weather is pretty well understood, relatively speaking, but we always are looking for deeper understanding.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with pudding stirrer, Troy Nicolini.
That's me.
Yeah. This charter school, Chris Hartley was on yesterday. We talked a little bit about what a charter school is.
And
what it means, or the technical definitions of
right.
it.
Right.
The walk away was, if it's better for the kids, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What kind of support have you guys had for this concept of having a vocational-oriented charter high school?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And first, I need to let everybody know that I am now no longer Troy Nicolini with the National Weather Service.
That was the stirrer part.
Yeah, I'm on vacation now. On vacation time. So now I'm a community member working on something in my spare time. And it's been really profound, honestly, Brian. Everybody I've talked to has been not just supportive, but excited about the idea. And I really want to highlight that that's across a broad spectrum of the people in this community. Like, regardless of whether they're in the trades or went to college or both, there's great support for it from folks. And it's also, I see the support across the political spectrum. Like, you know, it doesn't seem to matter where people lie politically. They support it. And I've had people say, wow, that is really what my daughter or son needed, like when they were in high school. That would have been great for them. And that really has impacted me because, you know, I feel like what you said about charter schools, if it's better for the kids, then it's good. Yeah, and this seems like for certain young people trying to plot out their future, this is a great option for them possibly if we can get this on the ground. So I would say across the community, it's been huge support. And then there's certain sectors that are really supportive. You know, anybody who's trying to hire folks from the trades is supportive because there are not folks coming out of high school ready and skilled and able to jump into a career. There just aren't. It's amazing how many older folks I talk to in various professions in the region who say they feel like there's no one to backfill them. You know, electrical contractors, for example, a lot of them are my age or older and they're looking at retirement and they've got, you know, some folks on their crew, but there just isn't that pipeline of new people moving into those professions. And they're great, needed professions, you know, by our community. They're very rewarding. They pay really well.
It's probably been exacerbated with those fires that we were alluding to earlier when you were wearing your Superman cape down south, where there's been an awful lot of development, a lot of activity, a lot of need for these folks. And we've been relatively stagnant until the last 6 months or so. And all of a sudden, you know, with Humboldt doing its thing,
right,
you know, with the fiber optics and then the fish farm or fish facility, et cetera, et cetera. What about us? And now we don't have anybody here.
Well, I would say we've been short for a while. I've talked a few times on my community comment about a big renovation project I'm doing in Arcata. I'm doing 95% of the work myself. Not the smartest thing to do, but I really enjoy it, you know. But for the stuff I've tried to sub out, it's incredible. When I contact people, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm booked a year out. I'll put you on my list if you want, you know. But folks are busy. And then also, again, they can't get folks to do the work often. The great plumber who eventually got to do the work, the young man that came to do the work, came from out of the area up to take this job. So he wasn't recruited locally. He came from out of the area.
Yeah, it's tough when the guys you know are all the old guys.
Yeah. Yeah, then they start dying.
Not the doers.
Yeah.
The office folks. Well, one of the questions that I had over the last little bit since we've talked about this is trades is kind of defined as blue collar, dirty fingernail, sweaty,
and
heavy.
Yeah.
But trades also is computer programming.
Right.
Restaurateur, culinary stuff.
Business,
nursery,
healthcare.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So for the definition of what you folks are looking at as this model, what kind of curriculum are you considering?
Yeah, thank you. In fact, I have to catch myself because the trades is a simple, easy term to roll off your lips, but my colleagues are referring to it as career technical education. That's the proper term for it.
Right.
And essentially, it's getting students ready to go straight into a career versus going to college first and then into a career, regardless of what that might be. The three areas we plan to focus on based on an assessment of the community's needs is going to be the construction, it's going to be healthcare, and it's going to be business. And so all of those, you can essentially find jobs in this area right now and contribute in a meaningful way to what this community needs.
So you say business, okay, you got a business out on the island, I got a business here.
Right.
Your needs are probably going to be radically different than what my needs are.
Right.
So is business kind of the catch-all?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot associated with business operations and management that is not does not require a college degree. As you know, I mean, many of our most successful.
Good thing for me.
Yeah. Well, many of the most successful business people around never went to college. Some of them, very iconically, dropped out of college to go do their business thing. Right.
Right. So the Bill Gates concept. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot you can learn in a career technical education arena that can prepare people to go participate in the business world.
Is this practically replacing apprenticeships?
You know,
or advancing somebody through there? I mean, is the equivalent on that?
You know, I hadn't thought about it. That's a really good question. But, you know, I think a lot of apprenticeships have an ability to accelerate through the process. You know, for example, you can become a ship's captain by just working on ships for a lot of years. Or you can go to the Maritime Academy, and that jumpstarts your apprenticeship, basically. So I would say this doesn't replace apprenticeships. It jumpstarts them.
You went to Cal Maritime?
I did not. I just used that as an example.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Didn't know about this Benicia thing, how close you got.
Well, that's true. I seem to be focusing on Carquinez Straits today.
Yeah.
You mentioned those warm Delta breezes, and now I just can't get them out of my mind.
You just keep singing Margaritaville to yourself, and we'll take a break. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Troy Nicolini about the proposed charter school. Where is this thing going to be located? Because in the last little bit, we've had the off-site learning, which means
right.
In the home. And I would imagine with a vocational approach in the educational model, you could have somebody located in a business doing or observing or mentoring or interning, that kind of stuff. Or you could have it in the more traditional setting on a campus setting. What does this look like?
We envision both. So we have a state-of-the-art.
Wait, there were three choices.
Oh, I can't do math.
Yeah,
it's
apparently. Yeah. You're in charge of finance?
All three.
Yeah.
All three, yes. All three. No, I'm not in charge of finance.
Okay.
All three. But the two I want to focus on. I mean, virtual is part of our learning environment now, no matter where you go to school. I mean, we all do it. After I'm done here, I have to go do some teletraining, right? So
not
virtual.
Not confused with Teletubby.
Yeah, big difference.
Teletraining, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So virtual for sure. But the two that caught my ear, we're looking to build a state of the art facility in Samoa, and this is going to be essentially a high school that is going to be built from the ground up for this purpose, which is really exciting, and we have tremendous support from the business community for doing that. So there will be a brick-and-mortar facility in Samoa, hence the name Samoa Beach Academy, because it'll have a world-class view of the ocean, I should mention.
It's going to be on the ocean side, not on the bay side?
It'll be in the town of Samoa, but we had to go up two stories to be able to fit in the footprint, and so on the second floor we'll have actually a view of the bay and the ocean.
That'll be where the administrative offices are?
That's where my office is going to be.
Yeah.
The board office, no. So brick-and-mortar for sure, but the idea, of course, is also to embed students in places of business to learn their trade. And again, just our early assessment from the community is that there's lots of support for that as well.
One of the challenges that some of us had when we were going through school and were more following the leader than independent thinking was, okay, if I'm going to go to college, I have to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Foreign languages, higher level math, not my case. Let's just say more years of math, a couple of other electives, some English, some comp, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. One of the things that we've heard about is that if somebody is interested in going on to a college environment, that this would qualify also. How are you going to be able to incorporate those, or is that the testing that happens each spring?
Yeah, there's minimum requirements to graduate from high school, and we're going to meet those. And those requirements essentially get a student prepared to go on to college, perhaps not straight to Stanford, but on to college. In fact, I went to a community college straight from high school, and it was a great experience for me. Best teachers I ever had was at a community college. So we are going to do both. We have to do both. The key difference is that there's two key differences. One is that our focus will be on career technical education, so that anybody who wants to go that path will not feel like they're doing a lesser program in their school, that it is the reason that the school exists. It'll be part of the culture, the identity, a source of pride. And then studying the other topics will be done well and will prepare students for any future they choose to pursue, right? And then there's a synergy thing we're hoping for, which is recognizing that a lot of the students we're talking about who are more tactile learners, there's an opportunity to leverage the career technical education to help them learn those topics that typically you know, frankly, students who are drawn towards career technical find boring. Well, it's the learning. All students learn differently. And the typical way to learn some of these more challenging topics is really boring. Calculus, math, you know, it can be done in a very dry way, and it can be done in a way that's really engaging and interesting, especially if it leverages an area of interest of the student, which, by the way, is what the foundation of the school my son goes to, which is a Montessori school. They have projects that they engage the students in so they can be in working in a team, using their hands and their minds, their creativity to work towards a project. And then they fold in the key topics that the students need to learn. And by wrapping around that exciting, engaging project, the students want to do it, they want to learn it, and it all connects and makes sense for them. So we believe there's an opportunity to actually teach those subjects that you're talking about more effectively to certain students who learn differently than the traditional bookworm who can just sit at a desk and stare at a book for five straight hours. And we're excited about that, actually.
Not that you have an attitude about those folks.
Well, I was one of those folks. I went to a lot of
I thought it was a co-worker issue.
No, I mean, honestly, I have a hard time sitting down. I always have. I've always had more energy, and it's a struggle for me to sit and focus on things like that at a desk. But I've done it effectively my whole life. I've mastered it through sheer will and discipline. Like, I mean, I went to University of California, engineering graduate degree. You know, you can't second-rate my college education. But I'm telling you, it was a struggle, and it was sheer willpower for me. We want to make it more accessible to students by addressing how each student learns.
Well, and there's plenty of historical examples of success with that also.
Yeah.
Whether it's way back or
Maria Montessori has been doing this method for young children for years.
You had a tough time with years, huh?
Yeah, well,
you're getting old, dude.
I couldn't think of how many years, so I just decided to go with years.
Okay.
I think 100 years. Like, it's been a Montessori. I better Google it. I turned my phone off.
Give you something to do during the break.
Yeah.
KINS, news and information time. It's 8:41.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Troy Nicolini. Troy, what has been, I would think with the concept of a charter career tech school, that there are schools in the region that would be excited, whether it's Southern Oregon or like Butte with the Fire Academy, the Police Academy, the folks out at CR are well versed with this. Some of the stuff going on at Humboldt, either with the solar programs and things of that nature. What has been the response, not at the high school level, but a step up?
Yeah, enthusiasm. We have really, really passionate letters of support from the presidents of both College of Redwoods and Humboldt State University. So they're 100% on board.
What do they cite?
That it's needed. It fills a gap, and especially, you know, both programs, you know, have liberal arts and they have disciplines, curriculums that shoot folks towards careers, and they both reference that this fills a gap currently not filled in the area. And so, and that it would mesh well with their programs and that they'd be interested and excited to collaborate with us. So
now, some of the curriculum that are being projected for the school, are those in direct conflict with those programs that are being offered now currently or
in the current high
schools?
No, not really. You know, the typical high school scenario, which is interesting because it's exactly like it was when I went to high school, but they have electives. They have some classes and their electives, and they don't have a complete curriculum for any of those specific arenas that we're proposing to go in. They don't have a complete curriculum that a student can graduate with, like a certificate to say, I know this body of knowledge. Like, they don't really have that. They have, you know, a sampling of elective courses that students can take in the career technical arena. And just to be clear, folks who are teaching those are obviously doing a great job. There's great passion. In fact, one of our board members taught those courses for 30 years at McKinleyville High. So we're not in any way suggesting that folks involved in career technical education right now in the current high schools aren't doing a fantastic job in the areas that they're doing. We're suggesting that we want to offer a full package for those students.
Broadening out of additional areas of interest?
and broadening out as well. And for each of those three areas, make sure that it's a complete package, that they walk out ready to go and start their career.
Yeah, when I think of business high school, now granted this was a couple of you said years, I'll say decades ago.
Yeah, well, me too, yeah.
But business math was for those that weren't able to handle geometry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and accounting wasn't really, it wasn't collegiate level accounting. It was kind of, it was the track for those that weren't going on to college.
That is so interesting. Yeah, you know, funny, because when I was in college, I studied engineering. So I went to the hard calculus. Folks doing like, if they want to go pre-med, they got the easy calculus. Or if people who did like geology, they had a different calculus track.
Journalism, we didn't take it.
Yeah, and, well, they have the hard and soft calculus. And interestingly, right. Going back to what I said earlier, as I looked at what the easier physics and easier calculus classes looked like, I remember thinking like, these are way more intuitive and accessible to the average person. Like, I honestly wish I could have taken those courses instead. So sorry that you just remind me of that, but. But yeah, the courses we will teach will be more intuitive, more practical, more hands-on, and address a broader spectrum of learning styles for students than the traditional hardcore academic preparedness courses that you see in a high school that's really college prep focused. Interestingly, what I'm trying to say is I think those courses, honestly, would probably better serve almost all students. There's time later in life to really get down to partial differential equations. Trust me, I banged on a lot of them.
And what?
Partial differential equations. Yeah. There's no reason to do that when you're 16, in my opinion. You can put that off. Put that misery off.
One of the things that I find interesting or exciting about the concept is that instead of memorizing a bunch of stuff, learning to use the tools and the equipment that perform the function.
Yeah, you learn it, then you do it. It's like we all learn better that way. I mean, I think it's a well-documented, learning theory that if you can hear it, say it, do it, talk about it, observe it, that you get it at a deeper level and you get it more quickly than if all you do is say read it or listen to it. So that, I think this school has tremendous opportunity to actually teach a broad spectrum of topics more effectively for more students.
Is there a school that this is modeled after somewhere in California or somewhere on the West Coast?
You know, that's a great question. We looked at models. I was an advocate for Montessori. I felt that, wow, it's kind of like Montessori was originally developed for preschool, very young children. It was right. Recognizing that they, you know, if you can fold in the things that kids normally do into their lessons, that they would pick them up more quickly. It's now moved on. There's Montessori all the way to high school. But it seemed like a natural fit to me. But to answer your question more directly, we ended up, I think, you know, sort of, gosh, I don't. That's so funny. We went around and around. I'm not sure if we ended up adopting a model that someone else used. I can't remember now, to tell you the truth. But,
or bits and pieces.
Or bits and pieces are more like it. Yeah, yeah. It's a great question, though. My memory's failing me on that point. I apologize. All I remember is that I advocated for a Montessori model, and that one wasn't really fully adopted.
Yeah, smacked down.
But of it did resonate with the rest of the team. Like, yeah, that's what we want to do. But
well, the concept. Yeah. I would imagine there's a lot of common threads between what you want and what is successful.
Yeah, and interestingly, my sister teaches in a traditional public elementary school in the Bay Area, and as I, you know, during holidays, we talk about stuff, and I find that what she says to me is that a lot of teachers in a spectrum of schools are folding in ideas from these other ideas like Montessori and others. They're actually pulling in some of those ideas into what they do. Like, she uses some of the Montessori concepts in her traditional public school classroom. So I think that's what I would say we're doing. We're pulling from lots of different ideas.
Well, I would think that that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
Successfully.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Right? Yeah. So the decision is this evening?
Yeah, 6 p.m. board meeting for the Northern Humboldt Union High School District Board. We'll be discussing this and deciding it starting at 6 p.m. tonight.
Is it a Zoom thing or is it an in-person?
It is, and you can join it. Just go to their webpage at nohum.org, and you can find the link for their meeting tonight.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now, if this is your vacation time, you better go put on your suntan lotion and get ready for the day, right?
I will probably.
It is going to be sunny.
Sure.
Under the sun lamp or outside. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.